Thank you for leading us in worship. So we're going to have a senior panel this morning of six seniors. So if you're one of those seniors, go ahead and come on stage and take a seat behind this table up here. Some of you guys thought we're going to reenact the Last Supper, didn't you? You guys can sit in no particular order, so just grab a seat somewhere. And also, as we're getting seated, I wanted to just let you guys know, if you are, so our new freshman leaders, so some of them are not new, because some of them are moving up with their grades, so I'll just introduce them by name so that everyone knows who they are, including the non-new freshmen. So so for our ninth grade guys, you guys are going to have a really great, great team. So you're going to have Richard Rogers. Is he here this morning? He's not here this morning? Okay, he's on your team. And then you have a new leader, Chris Vennard. Where's Chris? Stand up, Chris, so they know who he is. So Chris is moving down to the new freshman. And then Scott Hogan also. You guys can see a beard theme in this leadership team. And then Richard Moore, who's also, I think, not here this morning. He'll be, is he back here? There's at the back. So another bearded person. So, and does Richard have a beard? Does he have, Richard Rogers? Does he have a beard? He needs to grow a beard. Yeah. A long beard. And then for the girls, we have Marcy Day right over here. And then we have Jesse Brandon right next to her. And you're also going to get Leah Vennard. Is she in here or is she out there? She's over here. All right. All right. So, and for our seniors today, they graciously said that they could do this. And so up here you have, I'll say a no, I've got Kendall Cartwright, Mabry Rhodes, Bethel Chai, Maddox Billman, Clark Morrison, and Hunter Hutchins. So give them a hand for being here this morning. So what I asked them to do is I asked them to share just a couple things. One was to share a passage of Scripture that was meaningful to them. But then also I asked them to share just something that they wish someone had told them when they were coming in as a freshman in high school. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say. And so we're just going to do this. We're going to turn this mic on here and just going to pass it down. And we'll just, yeah. Are y'all ready to roll?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. First is Bethel.
Hi, guys. My name is Bethel, and I'm happy I'm up here. So the passage I picked was Luke 10:38-42. I'm going to read it. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" When I started high school, I wish I understood better how important it is to sit at God's feet like Mary and to just take in how beautiful and loving he is and worship him and listen to him and just rest in his presence. Knowing that abiding in Jesus is better than living a life of constant anxiousness and works that come from a place of trying to prove yourself. I believe in high school that what Mary chose is the good portion, and that we can choose that just like her, instead of finding our identity in numbers or popularity. Jesus says that one thing is necessary. Mary, the one who sat at Jesus' feet worshiping him, has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. And I believe that this shows that in the midst of life and its demands, Jesus wants us to enjoy being with him as his children, because that is where we find our identity and where we can find peace and joy and rest and encouragement when things are overwhelming. And high school can get really overwhelming. So basically, what I'm hoping for you guys as you enter high school is that you will be at rest by abiding in Jesus' presence.
Okay, hi guys. Thanks, Jaden. Hi, I'm Mabry. So I'm gonna be in 2 Corinthians 5, if y'all want to turn there, if you want to read with me. I'm a really bad reader, so just like bear with me for here. Okay, so it's called Our Heavenly Dwelling. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For at this tent we groan, longing to be put in the heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has been prepared us, who has prepared us for this thing of God, who has been given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. But for we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done by the body, whether good or evil. So, I picked these verses in this passage. One, because I think it gives us a really awesome and clear understanding of how our earthly home is just temporary. It says that our earthly bodies are made of tents, temporary and uncomfortable, and made to not last forever. So I really picked this because, not to get all sad, but my sister talked about this passage during my grandmother's funeral a couple years ago, and I thought this was just like the most gorgeous passage I've ever heard. I know it's kind of weird and gruesome to say that our bodies are just like little blips of life and that they're just here for a little while. But I kind of think that that's what makes it so beautiful. The bodies that we bear are supposed to wither away. That's why they were created, and so that we have our eternal home. So that's why Christ comes to bring final resurrection for his people. As we wait in the future, we live by faith. I have Jesus that pleases God, and it will be judged as righteous whenever the king comes back. So yeah, that's why I picked that. I think it's pretty awesome. Please hold. Okay, my advice. So my advice is to be still. I know that is a little weird for some incoming high schoolers, but it says at the end of Matthew 3 that Jesus, after he was baptized, he comes up from the water, and there was a voice saying to him, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert and was tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry and temper came to him. So this is like a quote from one of my favorite authors. If you haven't read the book, it's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's a great book. If you want my copy, I'll give it to you. It's pretty great. So it says, the desert doesn't mean heat and sand. It has many meanings, like desert, deserted place, solitary place, lonely place, quiet place, and the wilderness. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness because it was there and only there that Jesus was at the height of his spiritual powers. It was that only after a month and a half of prayer and fasting in the quiet place that he was held at capacity to take on the devil himself and walk away unscathed. So personally, I think that's crazy and wild and so awesome. But the meaning of that is to know that this is good, that if we're always going and going and going and never being still, that we're never going to have, like, true discernment with Jesus. To be still is just to be, just have that little time with Jesus, especially going into a time where everything's going a million miles a second and everything's just crazy. I just really encourage y'all to just be still with the Lord for a little while. I know if you're an underclassman, it's hard because you always never want to be home, and I was the same way. I never wanted to be home. I always wanted to be doing something and being with people, but I think there would be times when I was just going and going, and I would go months without talking to Jesus, and that was not good for me and not good for anyone around me because I just felt that I was doing bad, and I knew that I was portraying that to other people. So, yeah, that's my advice, is just be still and be okay with, like, being at home in your room or going someplace and just not being with people because it's okay, and that you can just have that time with Jesus. So that's mine.
Okay, hi guys. My name's Kendall, and I chose Philippians 3. So if you want to turn there, you can. If not, it's okay. I'm going to be reading verses 7 through 14. Okay, so, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All right, so I chose this passage just because it talks a lot about surrender and giving a lot up to God. And I talked last week about Romans 12, which is also a very good passage, but I wanted to do something different today. So I would say surrender has been a pretty big thing for me throughout high school, but specifically senior year. And in a world and culture that is just telling us that we are determined by our accomplishments or our failures or what we're good at or what we can succeed in, I think this message is so important that whatever gain or loss we have, it all doesn't matter because we are clothed in Christ's righteousness. And that's what God's word states. So God's word states that nothing we can succeed in or boast in will ever surpass the worth of knowing and loving him. It is also important that we as believers do not become self-righteous in our own good works or doings or what we succeed in, but we remain clothed in Christ and rely fully on him. My advice for incoming freshmen would be to not be afraid of being seen as like weird or different to your peers. I know that sounds silly, but especially at school, if you go to public school where you're not allowed or not around a lot of Christians or wherever you go, I just think it's a super cool testimony to live differently than the world and to live set apart. And it'll raise a lot of questions, why you don't say the things they do, why you don't act the way that they do, why you don't go where they do. And it's a really cool way to share the gospel. And yes, this may cost you some friendships and popularity, but most of those things are ways of the world that are fading very fast. And nothing like that will compare to the freedom that we have in Christ. Another thing I would recommend is getting plugged into community here at TBC, because it's where I met some of the best people I know, and I think they'll be my lifelong friends. So yeah, that's all.
Hello, my name is Hunter. I apologize in advance if I have any voice cracks. I'm blaming Impact Worship. All right, so I think the passage that has been most meaningful to me is Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, which reads, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry when saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So, to me, this passage has not only worked to call me out, but has also guided me and allowed me to lean on God when I'm in feelings of worry or anxiousness. Ultimately, God is saying that there's more to life than the material things like eating or drinking or clothing, and that the more attention we give to these things, not only will we have less of a spiritual life, but we'll also have more anxiety and worry building up within us. I think this is something I've kind of struggled with personally, especially throughout high school, which is why this passage is so important to me. It allows me to know that what is ahead for me in the future is all a part of God's plan, and that we often just need to focus on what's right in front of us while centering whatever that might be around God. And as for a word of advice I wish somebody would have told me going into high school, I wish someone would have told me to get involved. And when I say this, I don't just mean like all of the clubs or sports games or events that high school brings throughout the 4 years we're there, but I also mean involved in church, whether that be coming on Sundays or Wednesdays or going to Impact or Mission G or helping out at weekly outreaches like BCYC or Canyon Creek. It's these things especially that not only allow us to spread God's word, but also learn and understand others and build community. So whenever I think about high school, I think about community. And for me, the church is what builds the strongest community, kind of like what Kendall was saying. And I think that us seniors have done an amazing job of creating memories and leaving impacts. And I think a lot of the seniors can attest as well. To end things off, I just want to say that high school can and it will bring stress at times. But one thing I've learned is that staying plugged in can make a big difference. It might be easy to think of reasons why you might not be able to show up on a Sunday or a Wednesday, but it becomes a lot easier to go throughout high school when you have God and when you have the church around you. So, yeah.
Hey, everyone. My name is Maddox, and I'm going to be reading from John 21, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 4. So basically, if you don't know what this chapter is about, it's Jesus has just been raised from the dead, and he's making the rounds, he's appearing to his disciples. And so a few of the disciples, Simon Peter, they are fishing on a boat, and they're not really catching much fish. So I'll start in verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of a large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and then he jumped into the water. All of the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with the fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat, and then he dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. All right, so there's three main things I would like to highlight in this passage. First is that trust in the Lord and he will provide. So whenever the disciples, they weren't catching fish, he told them, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat." They couldn't even see him, so they were just, he was just this random guy to them, but they trusted him, and then they caught so much fish, 153, which is also such an exact detail that I think it's just so cool that John thought to include that, and I love that part. So to all my fishermen out there, maybe cast on the other side of the boat, and maybe you'll catch. I'm just joking. Trust in the Lord, and he'll provide. And then the second thing is that we are called to leave everything behind for Jesus. So Peter saw Jesus, and he realized it was him. He just jumped out of the boat and swam 100 yards to him. He could have just stayed on the boat like the other disciples did, but he dropped everything, and he went to swim towards Jesus. And I just think that's a perfect picture of what we are called to do as Christians, and I just love the image of him swimming to Jesus. Last thing is, this part gets a little more personal for me. So, like, I love to be outside. I love to make fires. I love to fish. And so this image of the disciples having breakfast with Jesus is just something that I just wish I was there, because it sounds so fun to be sitting there talking with Jesus, laughing with him, making jokes, catching him up on the past few days that he missed. And so it gets me excited to be in heaven with Jesus and to have this moment with him, because it's just a perfect picture of just being outside in his creation, just being with Jesus. And I love that. So my piece of advice doesn't really have anything to do with this. So basically, I want to encourage all of y'all to, like Hunter said, be involved, but be involved and engaged inside of this room, because this is so important, because it's Sunday morning. It's where we go to church. And every morning at church, almost every morning, there is someone here who doesn't really know God, and they've been convicted to show up to church. And Dave has said this before. I think he said it about 3 weeks ago, that they can do all they can to bring people inside of here, but it's your job to include them and to show the love of Christ to them. Because if we don't do that, then that can lead to years of hatred towards the church. And if we do that, it can lead to a lifetime of fellowship with other believers. And it can, like, the impact of you just going to sit next to someone, talk to them, get to know them, invite them to lunch or something. It doesn't have to be that crazy. You just have to, it's such an easy way to evangelize, because they're in your place of worship. They're in your church. You just have to go talk to them. And I think that this is something that if someone told me as a freshman, I would be so grateful for, because it's such an impactful way to get to know other people, and it's very easy. And it's something that I missed so many times. I bet every single Sunday there's going to be someone in here who doesn't really know what's going on, and it's up to you to go sit by them. I don't want to be like preachy or anything, but I want to encourage y'all to be like aware of these situations, because they do happen. They happen in here, and they also happen in big church. And I just wish I was more engaged and aware of my surroundings whenever I was a freshman going into my senior year. So yeah.
Hey guys, I'm Clark, and I'm going to start with my word of advice. So, and that is to not be stagnant in your faith and to actually move in your faith. So for me, I go to Providence, and so there's like chapel worship built in there. We read the Bible in some of our classes and stuff. I've always grown up in the church here at TBC ever since like little preschool, Sunday school stuff. And so it's easy to take your faith for granted. It's easy to be saying to yourself, I'm a Christian because I've been here for 18 years. I've been at this church for 18 years, and I go through all of this stuff by myself, and I know that I've been a Christian. And so you're just going to like keep saying to yourself, I'm a Christian, but you're not going to actually do anything about it. And that was me. That was me until Pastor Davis's class, and when we went through the spiritual disciplines. And I don't know if you, the freshmen haven't, but for the past couple months, we've been talking about the spiritual disciplines. So if you haven't been paying attention, I'll give you a quick little recap. So you start with Bible intake. And Bible intake, what I did for myself was I just started in the Gospels, and I read a chapter a day, and right before I went to bed. And it's super easy. And then you move to prayer, and then you move to worship, evangelism, and then serving, fasting, silence and solitude, journaling, and learning, which is like going to sermons, which we do, and y'all guys are doing right now. And so just taking those things and actually incorporating them into your life, that's how you stop being stagnant, and that's how you take your faith and make it into your own faith, and not just the faith that you've been raised up into and the faith that you've been holding for your entire life, but you've never really done anything about it. And so I lived that way, and it's not a great way to live. The best way to live is to be walking alongside Jesus and to be having that relationship with him, and that comes through the spiritual disciplines, and really only through the spiritual disciplines. And so I just encourage every single person here for high school, just start making your faith your own and start going step by step, Bible intake, prayer, worship, and start making it a routine. It's going to start out, you're like, I don't have time for this because I'm in high school, I'm super busy, I play sports, I have a bunch of friends, I don't have time for this, but you really do. And you just have to take time out of your day right before you go to bed. And soon enough, you're going to want to take that time, and you're going to want to spend time with the Lord. And so that's what I want for every single person here, and I wish I had done that earlier in my high school life, and earlier, like not before, not just in high school, you can do this whenever. But I wish I had done that earlier. And that builds your relationship with God, and that's what really matters. And the passage that I chose is John 16. And so for a little bit of context, Jesus is telling his disciples what's about to happen. And he's like, he's saying it in typical Jesus ways where he's like not saying it, but he's saying it. And the disciples are always confused, like they always are, like we're doing an impact right now. He's like, I'm going to die and then come back. And he's saying it in weird ways with like a woman delivering a baby. And the disciples are like, bro, what? And they're like, okay, Jesus, stop doing that. Just tell us what you mean. And they say, you're speaking plainly now. Thank you. They're like, good job, Lord. You're speaking plainly now. And when he finally explains it to them. And so he says all of these things and he tells them, I'm going to die, but be comforted. I'm coming back to you. And you guys still have faith. Don't leave the faith. Don't run away because I'm coming back. And then he says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation and troubles, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And so I think it's just one verse, and there's two really big things that I'm taking away from this verse. And the first thing is that in me you may have peace. So you're going to look to a lot of different things for your identity and like peace in high school. You're going to look to sports, you're going to look to your friends, you're going to look to TV, your phone, like all these different things. You're going to look like, that brings me peace. That helps me calm down. That helps me take a break from everything. And so what Jesus says contradicts that. Jesus says, in me you have peace. In me you may have peace. And so Jesus is the only peace that we can truly get. So whenever you're thinking, okay, I'm going to relax by going on my phone and scrolling on Reels for 3 hours, like some of my friends do, we're not going to do that. We're going to look, and we can look to John 16, verse 33, and see that in Jesus and in God is the only way that we can have peace. And we're told elsewhere in the Bible that that peace is a peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's the most beautiful thing that you can have on earth, is that relationship with God and that peace that surpasses all understanding. God wants to give you that, and you can get that if you just go with God and grow your relationship with God and look to him instead of looking to things that everybody else in high school wants you to look to, like friends and sports and parties and grades and like your class rank and things like that. And then the second part of the verse, in the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. That's like one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in the Bible. But so everyone knows that the world is hard and it's a rough place. We talk about the world being broken in all of our impact gospels, and it is. And there are hard things that are going to happen to you in high school. There are hard things that are going to happen to all of your friends and your family in high school. And so those things are going to happen. And some of those things might happen with like your friends because you are a Christian. And some people might cast you out, might laugh at you, not invite you to things. They won't want to be your friend because you're a Christian, like they were saying over there. And so just take heart, just because these things are earthly troubles and these are earthly trials. But Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And he has overcome these earthly trials. He did that for us. And so these things seem like the most important thing, like our popularity or our friend group. They seem like the most important thing to you in high school, but they're not. Because Jesus has overtaken the world, and he has overcome the world, like he says. And so we need to look to that, and we need to take his peace. We need to look to him instead of what the world is telling us to look to. And so I just encourage you to add the spiritual disciplines into your life if you haven't already from the sermons that Dave's been giving us. Just add those to your life and look to Jesus for your peace, and look to Jesus because he has overcome all of your trials and all of your troubles. He has already overcome that for you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys so much for sharing with us today. And trust me, it was really hard going down the class roster of this class and trying to ask, like, who do I ask to do this? Because there's so many of you guys out in the crowd here that I'm like, y'all could have all been up here, honestly. And we could have gone just for a couple of days doing this. So I appreciate those that shared, and just also the ones that weren't able to share. You guys have shared with your lives the last several years. Just the example that you've shown, through Impact Clubs and being a leader. And I always love it when when students do serve all the way through with impact until they graduate, because I see seniors kind of like extra credit. It's like you're doing it. We know you have other stuff going on, obviously, with your life and stuff like that, but they stick around and they serve because they want to see the new students come in and be and really be shepherded in that way. And so we appreciate you guys, those on stage, but also those that are out here in the crowd as well. So we appreciate you all. So what I want to do real quick before we head out is give the new freshmen and also just everybody kind of a snapshot of what's coming up on Sundays in the coming weeks. And so what you're going to see over the summer is a series called From the Heart. And we did this like 4 years ago, and it's going to be some different messages this time. And so we do like a four-year kind of rotation. We don't do the exact same thing every 4 years, but we have some things that are like going to stay the same, and then some things will change, obviously. We'll change some things out. But this summer will be a series called From the Heart, and it's really going to be like standalone messages, sermons on the stage. I'll do a few of them. We'll have other leaders share some as well. And the kind of messages they're going to give are going to be like standalone sermons. We say either a passage you're really passionate about or something that you wish that someone had told you when you were in high school, something like that. And so I'll give, I think, three or four of these messages. I'll do the first one next week on how we often misunderstand God's will. That'll be next Sunday. And have some other leaders share throughout the summer as well. So kind of like those, like, real raw kind of sermons, like from the heart, like from the gut. That's the kind of sermons you'll be hearing this summer on Sundays. And then in the fall, we will start a series called Status. And we did this 4 years ago. And this one will pretty much be the same as what we did 4 years ago, so the new freshmen can hear it. So no one that's going to be here will have heard this. They've all graduated since then. But it's going to be a series on relationships. And guys, we dive into like every topic you can think of when it comes to relationships. We do it every 4 years. And so the way we kind of build this thing out is we cover all these kinds of topics. Here's a title of a lot of our topics that we'll cover. We kind of give you some vision at the beginning of what you should think about in relation to relationships. We talk about dating, engagement, marriage, a couple talks on that. We do one whole talk like just to the girls while the guys, of course, are present. And then we do one whole talk to the guys while the girls are present. That's always a fun week because the girls are like, yeah, tell those boys, you know? And then the next part of the series is we cover and get into some dicey issues. Like we spend 2 weeks on sexuality. And then we'll do a week on singleness and how to honor God in our singleness. And then there's also the gospel and same-sex attraction, the gospel and gender identity. So listen, guys. Welcome to high school. we're going to cover all of it and not apologize for it and give you a biblical perspective on these things. And that series will start in August and take us all the way through December, all right? It's a long series, but it's worth covering those things. And so that'll be happening in the fall. And then here's the plan of just, we're restarting our four-year rotation now, and so you'll see, again, relationship series in the fall. Then we'll cover some kind of a narrative section. We'll do 1 and 2 Samuel. Some of the most epic stories in the Bible are the stories of Saul and David and Solomon. We're going to cover that. That'll be in the springtime next year, and then we'll do year 2, something in the Gospels. We do a series called Ask Anything, where you guys ask us questions. And we do like a top 10, and it's kind of like random, but it's questions that are pressing on your minds and hearts. And we do a series that covers those top 10 questions that you have. And we do like, you know, 10-1 basically for that series. We'll do something from one of the prophetic books in the Bible. And then year 3, we'll do something from one of the letters or the epistles. Apologetics is like defending your faith. Like, how do you really defend your faith when someone asks a question about it? We do something called an everyday theology series, and then year 4, something from wisdom, probably Proverbs, and then we'll do a discipleship series, which is what we just finished up this past spring with our high school kids, okay? So that's a look at the next 4 years, and so hopefully that is something that you think you can be engaged by. And so what I want to do now is I'm going to pray, and we're going to close up, And then I've got on the stage, I've got a schedule for Wednesdays for the summer. And I want to make sure that our new freshmen get that. So I'll have the leaders kind of take those and pass them out to the new freshmen, in addition to anyone else that wants that. And so let me go ahead and pray for us, and we'll close up our time. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for these seniors, with the example that they've been the last few years to our students. Thank you for how they have led and how they are about to lead again during Impact Week this next week. We pray that you would just give them wisdom as they navigate the next few weeks and months and a couple years as they enter into college. And we pray for them to stay strong on their walk with you and for them to just desire to follow you above all else. They will encounter many temptations, and I pray that they would see you as more beautiful and more worthy of those temptations, Father. And I pray that they would find strong churches where they go and find strong community there as well. And we also pray for these new freshmen as they come into high school, that as they think about, they can see themselves sitting up here on the stage one day and giving advice to the other freshman class coming in on that Sunday, that they would stay strong in their faith in the body of Christ these next 4 years as well. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's take these guys to get on the stage.